In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. From where I have been sitting, I have been watching the people coming in, mostly the children, the younger people who are dressed in costume, mostly the children who are dressed in costume. And I've been thinking to myself, I probably should have worn more sparkles or sequins or something a little more fabulous. It's really good to be back. It's great to be with the folks here at Redeemer. It's always good to spend time with David. I have a soft spot for this guy. I'm sure you do too. It's always a joy to come back and enjoy the excellent worship and fellowship that I find here. So thank you for that. This morning, we are setting ourselves up beautifully. All of the readings that we are going to, or have been going through, and are going to go through in the next number of weeks, the weeks coming up to Christ the King, or the reign of Christ, depending on how you want to look at that feast, all of them are apocalyptic readings. They're suns and moons falling down, and dogs and cats living together, and all that kind of stuff that's just massive, massively apocalyptic. And there's this figure of Jesus in the middle of the storm who just kind of sitting there, talking away, explaining things. How many of you remember the movie The Matrix? There was a series of them, okay? And Neo, the one aptly played by Keanu Reeves, who looks really good in long black semi-cassocks and things like that. In The Matrix, there's this moment where Neo is confronted by all of these powers and principalities that come at him. And he goes into kind of like a Japanese, I don't know, judo, karate or something, and he does a kata. So it's like this, turns around and says, okay, bring it on, right? You all remember that moment in the movie? Well, that's what's actually going on in the temple right now with Jesus. Jesus has cleansed the temple, and this is the week before his death. These chapters of Matthew, these apocalyptic stories and difficult parables that really challenge us, really get up your nose, like, what the heck does he mean by that? These are the last teachings Jesus gives us before he dies. And one by one, in the temple precincts, he takes on, just like Neo, all of the haters, the criticizers, the people who are arguing with him, right? And this morning, you heard what is essentially the introduction to a third grade understanding. Well, hearing he had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees took him on, right? So the Pharisees are like, yeah, told them off. So they sent their own guy in. All the way through these chapters, this happens first to the Herodians, then the scribes, then the Sadducees, then the Pharisees. And after this episode today, they don't ask him any more questions. And Jesus begins to speak. Those of you who are fans of figuring out what the lectionary doesn't read you and when you go to church, go home and read the 23rd chapter of Matthew. If you are a believer in gentle Jesus, meek and mild, who wouldn't say a bad word even to you, go read the 23rd chapter of Matthew, because it's hair-raising. After all of these confrontations with the Sadducees and the Herodians and the Pharisees and the lawyers, Jesus lets loose on them. And we never read those passages in church. I think we have to sanitize ourselves from it. But anyway, in this case, we're talking about Jesus being confronted by a lawyer and lawyer questions. Lawyer questions are the questions that are meant to really sharpen what you know about what Jesus is saying, but they're not really genuine questions in that they are always about the limits. Tell me what I have to do, Jesus. Tell me the minimum. The lawyer questions are expressed lots of different ways. We all do them, right? What is the bare minimum I need to get right with God? Tell me to do that, I'll do that, and then everything will be fine, right? When I worked at the university, lawyer questions were easily defined this way. Those of you who have anything to do with education or the university will recognize this question. How big does the font have to be to make it a 10-page paper? Right? It has to be 10 pages. I'm done writing. I don't want to write anymore, so I'll just make the font big enough to turn it into 10 pages. That is the kind of spiritual question we're facing. That's what the lawyer is asking. Jesus, tell me the limits. Tell me what I have to do. Tell me the minimum. Tell me what it is I have to do to slide in through the gate. Show me the least. And Jesus doesn't let him get away with it. He fires right back, like any good rabbi would, with another question. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he says, okay, let me ask you a question. And he takes on the Pharisees who have set themselves up as the governors of the law, and he asks them whether or not who is greater, David or the son of David, the one who is to come. And he silences them. What happens when Jesus confronts power? Because that's what's really going on. There's kind of an unholy alliance going on between the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, who are all gathered, and they work with the Romans, the oppressor, the civic authority, to keep the peace. Let's not be having any wild and crazy ideas, Jesus. Let's not be telling folk that they have access to God. Let's not be challenging the status quo of the temple. Let's not be upsetting things. We're a law and order people here. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and everyone else who was questioning Jesus, they were all making sure that the status quo wasn't challenged too far, because they were all kind of defending their own territory. And you think about the stories Jesus tells and what he teaches within hours of his death. Within hours of his death. When we listen to these chapters, we ought to pay very close attention to the fact that these are the sorts of things that Jesus wanted us to hear before it was all over for him. That this portion of his ministry is ending, and he knows it. So he's trying to put across to people the most important stuff. And I would encourage you not to miss a Sunday through November. That's more than just the movie poster, right? You know, in a world where it's more than just that. These are some of the most important parables, because they actually express in the deepest terms the absolutely earth-shaking, transforming, end-of-the-world nature of what Jesus is saying. Grace, which is when we get what we don't deserve, is limitless. There is no limit. There is no end. You cannot earn it. You can't deserve it. It's just given. Grace, that grace is open to all, regardless of the law and order party, or the Pharisees who want to control how people read the book, or the Sadducees who want to control how people deal with the holy hardware, or the lawyers who want to control how people deal with their ordinary lives and divorces and understanding of the law. Grace is actually how the universe is wired. And unlocking that grace is consisting of loving the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And when you unlock that grace, something happens where you are set free. Not just the usual categories of set free from sin and death, which is a pretty good deal if you really want to think about it. It's not just an eternal life that we're promised, but it's actually a change in the here and now. A kingdom lived now. A transformation made now. And the confrontation that Jesus is facing is because some people in his day do not want everyone to know their relationship with God and its nature. They don't want them to know, because there are just ways that we do these things. Sound familiar? There are just ways There are ways that we govern our relationships. There are ways that we do church. There are ways that we worship. There are ways that we pray. There are ways that we sing, and we do not want that upset. Except that Jesus walks right into the middle of it and says, look, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. There is the greatest commandment. What are you going to do from there? He's not big on detail, is he? The detail is all implicit. The detail is all run out for you. But the universe that Jesus is expressing to us, this graceful universe in which we all hold a place, is the very universe he died to instantiate, to make real, to incarnate in front of us. And so as he stands in the temple and one by one says, all right, finish with the Pharisees, bring on the Sadducees, finish with the Sadducees, bring on the Herodians, whoever, whatever confrontation it's going to be about the fact that you are beloved. That you are loved beyond your capacity to know how much you are loved. Think about that for a second. You are loved beyond your capacity to know you are loved. And if the world really believed that, if every individual in the world really believed that they were loved beyond their capacity to know that they are loved, what a difference we could make. What a different world this would be. What a change in understanding. We would not have lawyers arguing with religious leaders about the limits. Well, the budget is not limitless. We just cannot reasonably be expected to offer these benefits to everyone. We cannot be reasonably expected to take in everyone in the world who needs a place that doesn't have bombs and bullets screaming overhead. We cannot reasonably be expected. Yes, yes, you can. Yes, you can be reasonably expected to make the kinds of sacrifices and changes which mean that you have loved God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It's very easy to convince yourself that we cannot be reasonably expected to do some of these things if you live in an urban center like this. We got plenty of room in Manitoba. There's lots of room for everybody. One of the changes in the confrontations that Jesus is facing in the temple is people who are saying, we cannot be reasonably expected to believe that God wants us to think this way. We cannot be reasonably expected to believe that God wants us to love one another like this. Well, yes, the law says this. But everyone knows, there's the law and then there's living it, right? Those kinds of negotiations. Last night, I compared this. The love of God is gold, and what we do with it is we trade gold for brass. We take the second best, the reasonable, the feasible, the doable, the immediate, and then we sit there and are content with that. That is not enough. Jesus proclaimed a love that was so big and so broad and so uncontrollable, they killed him for it. Think about that. A love that was so big, so broad, beyond your capacity to understand it, that they had to silence him. This is the challenge to the Christian church today, because we can be put to sleep by our position in society, although we're fast losing that. Or we can begin to get in the way. Get in the way. Just kind of put yourself in the way of the systems and the powers, the Pharisees and Sadducees of today who want to say, well, we can't reasonably be expected to care for everyone who's born in this country. Yeah. Yeah, we can. Get in the way. Because that's what Jesus did. And by the way, if you get in the way, you can expect what Jesus got. Yeah, that's why we have a branding problem in the church. If you're going to get in the way of the systems and powers the way Jesus did, then you're going to get what Jesus got. And I would like to remind you what that is. Resurrection. There will be some unpleasantness in between. But you will get resurrection. As a people dedicated to the love of Christ and proclaiming that word, we have no less a responsibility than living the vision of a love that is beyond our capacity to know it. And that would make a difference to so many people who just walk outside that door, who don't know what's going on in here, who might turn their head 45 degrees to see what's going on when the door is open, but have no idea of the message that's preached here. So maybe you should think about yourself like Neo. As you walk the streets of the city, as you go about your business, as you live your life, as you carry on, maybe it's time for you to take up your stance and invite them in and begin to get in the way and prepare for what comes after. Resurrection. Amen.